Today is arguably the most important date in history because of what happened 2,000 years ago. It changed the course of all history. In fact, history has been building to this, up to this day from before time began. We know that. God tells us that. 1 Peter 1:18 through 20, as well as Acts 2:22 and 23, how God had planned this before the foundation of the world. And this is just everything had been leading to this day. What is this one event that changed everything? It is the death of Christ, the Son of God, on the cross of Calvary. Now, this is described in the four Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I encourage you to take the time to read those accounts of what happened as Christ went to the cross. But we know that he died for the sins of all mankind. Scripture makes this clear. And it is through this one act he forever accomplished our salvation. The book of Hebrews spends a lot of time fleshing that out in Hebrews 10, 10 through 14, as well as chapter 7, 27, chapter 9, 26, and 28, how by one sacrifice he has forever perfected those who are being saved, as Hebrews 10, 14 says. Now, we tend to think and act as if today's events and our problems are what are most important. Right now, we're wrapped up in a crisis, and it is consuming our lives, the COVID-19 crisis. But there'll be other ones to come. And we tend to think these are the things are the most important because that's where we are. We're living in them right now. But reality is, it is this event that over 2,000 years ago is what really is the most important for our lives today, even in 21st century America. I want to look at one verse with you today from 2 Corinthians 5 that explains why this event is still so important for us today in realizing what God did for us all those years ago. And it's 2 Corinthians 5:21. It says, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." This verse, set in the context here in 2 Corinthians 5, is a kind of the culmination of all that God has been explaining, what God has been doing for us. And we've looked at it at in the past, how the hope that we have in eternity, but it's all because of the gospel. And this verse explains this culmination. And it says, "For he," that is God the Father, we know that from verse 20, is God this, and the Son, because it says, "made him," that is Jesus Christ the Son. Verse 20 says, "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." So there's the work of the Father and the Son in this. And is the plan of God, and his Son is carrying this out. It says, "For he made," God the Father made him, Christ, "who knew no sin." To know here is to have a knowledge, come to have a knowledge of it. There is no point at which Christ ever came to have a knowledge, even in his humanity. He lived a perfect life. And Scripture makes this clear in 1 Peter 2:22. And how it is the work of God, that he is sinless. It tells us that he committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. Also, 1 John 3:5, which says, "And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin." In fact, Hebrews 4:14 points out that he was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. So even though he lived a human life, he never came to the point where he experienced sin in his own life. Now, he knew what it was like to go through temptation. In fact, arguably, he knew the full extent of it because he never caved to it. And it is this truth about him that qualifies him to be our substitute. Because even though he knew no sin, and sin here is a breaking of God's law. It is a worshiper of self. I mean, Scripture defines it in various ways, but it is this where we go our own way rather than following God. And it tells us that he became sin for us. He did this. He was the sinless one. So he could be our substitute. Because he didn't need to die for his own sins. He could die for the sins of others. And because of this, 1 Peter 2:24 tells us he himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Galatians 3:13 talks about how he has redeemed us from the curse of the law, becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. And these verses explain why he did this. He became our substitute. We who deserve death, and every other person, other human that has ever lived, is worthy of this. Because Romans 3:23 tells us the way all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and we're all under sin's condemnation. As Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. We deserve that. Yet God has made a way through Christ. Through his death on the cross, the sinless dying for the sinner. And as this verse concludes, that we might become the righteousness of God. Notice it is might become. There's a possibility. Just because he died for everyone does not mean everyone is saved. There must be a response in our lives. How does this take place? How do we become righteous? It is through repentance. Acts 3:29 tells us we must repent and be converted, and the result is that our sins are blotted out. Acts 26:20, Paul in his testimony talks about how our need to repent, to turn to God and do good works befitting repentance. You see, true repentance, a true change of mind which leads to a change of actions, is always shows itself in good works. You see an example of this in 1 Thessalonians 1, 9 and 10, how Paul talks about the Thessalonians had turned from idols to serve the living and true God. Now, that's what needs to happen in our life. If this righteousness is to be applied to us, God has done everything that is needed to make us righteous. We must respond and turn in faith. And because our natural inclination is not to. And in fact, Romans 10, 3 and 4 tells us that our natural inclination is to seek our own righteousness. We're ignorant of God's righteousness, and we naturally try to do it on our own. Instead, we need to turn to him, and we need to seek not our own righteousness, but seek a righteousness that is from Christ through faith. Romans 4, 1 through 8 tells us how, and it is through faith in Jesus Christ alone. This is the truth that is expressed in this verse. That God the Father made his Son to be our substitute, to become sin in our place, to die in our place, that in order that we might become the righteousness of God. That we would become righteous in God's eyes. So no longer God would look at us and see our sin, but would see his Son's righteousness, and so welcome us into eternal life. So what does this mean for us today? In light of this passage, and the truth that Christ died for our sins is what we remember on this Good Friday, what does this mean? Well, first, do you realize that God the Father planned the only way of salvation before the beginning of the world, and that God the Son submitted to this plan? You see this played out in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus prays, Father, if there is any other way, let this cup pass from me. He knows how horrible it's going to be. Yet he says, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Philippians 2, 5 through 8 tells us how the mind of Christ was such that he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Not just any death, though. Even the death of the cross. And I'm so thankful he did. Does that humble you as you contemplate what Christ did for you and make you so thankful for what God has done for you? It should. Secondly, Do you realize how much Christ did not deserve to die on the cross? Because he was perfectly sinless. He had never sinned a day in his life. He had nothing that he had done had ever earned him this spot where he dies, not just any death, but the death of crucifixion. It's been explained, and Dr. Tommy Michael and others have gone through the process of what Jesus endured on the cross. That is horrific. It's one of the worst ways to be executed. He died a criminal's death. He didn't deserve that. And yet he did so that anyone, that means you or me, could be made righteous like him. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." That offer is open to anyone if you will but believe. Third, then, do you realize that you need to personally repent of your sin in order to become righteous through faith? This is not of our own effort, our own work. We can't do that. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Titus 3:5 says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us." Have you done that? Have you repented of your sin and turned to God, resulting in good works? Because it will show, it should show itself if you are really, truly repented. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For he is a workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works." That comes right on the heels of that Ephesians 2:8 and 9. It should show itself in our lives. Have you experienced the work of Christ on the cross on your behalf? You know, we call this truth expressed here in this verse the great exchange, how Christ gave us his righteousness in exchange for our sin. What a deal. I mean, I know growing up, I tried to wheel and deal with my siblings sometimes. You try to give them, you know, something that you didn't want in exchange for something that you really wanted. And then, you know, today, you know, you like to boast about those good deals you got, right? You gave something that you didn't value or wasn't as valuable, and you got something way better, you think, in return. This is the best exchange we can ever make. Have you experienced the great exchange in your life? Are you mindful and thankful for the work of Christ in dying on the cross for you this Good Friday? I want to sing a couple songs for you that just remind us of these truths. First is, "His robes for mine. His robes for mine, O wonderful exchange. Clothed in my sin, Christ suffered neath God's rage. Draped in his righteousness, I'm justified. In Christ I live, for in my place he died. I cling to Christ and marvel at the cost. Jesus forsaken, God estranged from God. But by such love my life is not my own. My praise, my all, shall be for Christ alone. His robes for mine, what cause have I for dread? God's daunting law, Christ mastered in my stead. Faultless I stand, with righteous works not mine, saved by my Lord's vicarious death alone. I cling to Christ and marvel at the cost. Jesus forsaken, God estranged from God. But by such love my life is not my own. My praise, my all, shall be for Christ alone. His robes for mine, God's justice is appeased. Jesus is crushed, And thus the fathers pleased. Christ drank God's wrath on sin, then cried, 'Tis done. Sin's wages pain, propitiation's won. I cling to Christ and marvel at the cost. Jesus forsaken, God estranged from God. But by such love, my life is not my own. My praise, my all, shall be for Christ alone. His robes for mine, such anguish none can know. Christ God's beloved, condemned as though his foe. He as though I, accursed and left alone. I as though he, embraced and welcomed home. I cling to Christ and marvel at the cost. Jesus forsaken, God estranged from God. But by such love, my life is not my own. My praise, my all, shall be for Christ alone. And then the power of the cross. Oh, to see the dawn of the darkest day, Christ on the road to Calvary. Tried by sinful men, torn and beaten then, nailed to a cross of wood. This the power of the cross. Christ became sin for us, took the blame, bore the wrath, we stand forgiven at the cross. Oh, to see the pain written on your face, bearing the awesome weight of sin. Every sinful thought, every evil deed, crowning your blood-stained brow. This the power of the cross. Christ became sin for us, took the blame, bore the wrath, we stand forgiven at the cross. Now the day like flees, now the ground beneath quakes as its maker bows his head. Curtain torn in two, dead are raised to life, finish the victory cry. This the power of the cross. Christ became sin for us, took the blame, bore the wrath, we stand forgiven at the cross. Oh, to see my name written in the wounds, for through your suffering I am free. Death is crushed to death. Life is mine to live, won through your selfless love. This the power of the cross. us. What a love, what a cost, we stand forgiven at the cross. Father, we're so thankful for these truths, and this verse, and in these songs. We thank you that you died in our place. You sent your Son to endure the cross so that we might become righteous through his offer of himself. And help us to never forget what you have done. Help us to trust, to respond to your great grace by through faith, trusting in you, and then living for you, showing it to those around us. Lord, work in and through us. May this Easter season be ever stick in our minds as we remember these truths. Lord, we thank you so much. We ask this in Jesus' name.